It's time for Free for All, your morning discussion program. Now, here's your host, Pat Meehan.
Yes, this morning on Free for All is Representative Jack Seedy of Casper. Mr. Seedy is a native of France, received his bachelor's degree from the Académie de Grenoble, and his master's at Northwestern University here in this country at Evanston, Illinois. I'm sure I pronounced that first one right. Mr. Seedy is a teacher of American history at Dean Morgan Junior High School. He immigrated to this country from Switzerland in 1947, became a naturalized U.S. citizen in 1953, midway through his tour of duty with the United States Air Force, where he served from 1951 to 55. Mr. Seedy is married, has a wife, Bernie, and two fine children. See, your children's names, Jack, are Nikki, and
Mike.
Nikki, that's
and
right. And Jack, welcome to Free for All.
Thank you, Pat.
Jack and I have been discussing the problem of drug abuse in Casper for some time, and we thought it might be useful if we could bring to the public the approach that Representative Seedy has used in his role as teacher up at Dean Morgan Junior High School. Mr. Seedy, I wonder if you could start by giving us a little background on the situation in Casper.
On the situation in Casper, I'm not sure I can speak as the so-called expert. I'll tell you what my personal thoughts are. And very simply, I think there is a drug problem. I think that we've got too many people, each with his own particular solution, each with his own opinion. Everybody has an opinion. Nobody has all the facts. We've heard from law enforcement, we've heard from policemen, from lawyers, from doctors, from druggists, and I'm a teacher, I'm a politician, I have my own opinions, and in the long run, you've got so many people talking. I have a feeling the listening public, the reading public, or the parent public is utterly confused.
Well, then why have another program like this one, say?
One more opinion, one more solution. No, I think I can simplify. I think we should set up a community priority within Casper. Instead of hitting this problem from such a broad spectrum, I think we can narrow our target, our goal. I think we should concentrate as a community, and we should decide among ourselves whether it's the experimenter, the kid who just picks it up once or twice and then never touches it again. Is it the dabbler who does it once in a while, the user who does it every weekend or so, or are we going to be worried about the actual drug addict? Are we worrying about the young or the old and so forth?
Well, I think one reason that we're having the program this morning is to try and afford a forum to both the children of the community and their parents to talk about this problem, and we have set up the ground rule that if you want to call in and ask a question and you don't want it to go on the air, our free-for-all operator will write down the question and bring it in, and we may not be able to answer it ourselves. We will if we have some reason to think we have the right answer, but maybe we'll call on another listener to call in later and give us the answer. And
hello. Hello, Jack.
Yeah?
Say, what does marijuana do to you after you smoke it the first time? Well, what about speed after taking it twice?
Now, speed is entirely different. Speed is an amphetamine. It's methadrine. It's a pep pill. Now, the effect of speed, it can be deadly. Speed kills. You've heard the expression.
This is Jack D.
Good morning. Just a second, I'll turn down my radio.
Okay.
Okay, first of all, I would like to mention, like the last person said, a lot of people in Casper do not believe that there is a drug problem. Let me guarantee you there is.
It didn't kill me.
Mm-hmm.
But I can honestly say that mentally and physically and spiritually, I was dead. Mm-hmm. Just as dead as anyone could get.
Could we ask you how old you were when you started?
17.
Do you think that if you had someone of your own age had talked to you, it might have made a difference?
Probably not. because of the all the kids that talked to me were the ones that got me to do it.
Well, that's,
imagine if someone other than the kids I ran around with had talked to me, I might have changed my mind.
Well, this time,
I was asking, why don't they ask the city council if they could put in a hotline?
Could you describe what a hotline is, please?
Well,
turn off your radio in the back, please. Otherwise, you'll get a feedback.
Okay. On TV.
For time.
What if you were, you had taken it, but you didn't have any on you? It was in you.
The thing is, I hear that marijuana is bad, and then you hear that it's good. Now, there is no halfway measure. And what I was wondering, is it good or is it bad? I mean, like, you listen on TV, you read in articles where some say it's not good for you. And you read another article where doctors find that there's really nothing, you know, to it.
Well, I want to know if how you can tell if somebody's taking drugs.
I want to know how many kinds of acid are there and what black acid is and what it does to you.
It's physically habit forming. And that
right.
Many people say, well, it's the same as cigarettes or alcohol. There's a difference. And
right.
Probably the only real choice would be to take neither. But right now, the only thing that's really harmful with marijuana is that it is against the law.
And I'd like to know if it's true that there was a man and he left his cup of coffee and that when he came back, there was some LSD in it and that he's instead of having flashbacks every 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yes, I'd like to know how you can make a drug user realize he has a problem. Because he won't listen to you talk to him unless he realizes he does have a problem.
Yes, I'd like to talk a little bit about what you can do and what is being done about the problem of drugs in, say, San Francisco and L.A. Now, I spent about a year and a half in these two areas.
Yes, sir.
And I found that there was a group that everyone was really helped by that had the problem. And this is a group called Synanon.
I don't have really any questions, but I've got a couple comments.
Okay.
And I'd like to kind of give my point of view. Well, first of all, there was this one girl, she called in about three or four calls ago.
Yes.
And was talking about that, about how you didn't know what you were talking about,
right,
or something
right
in that order. Well, I kind of figure she's pretty basic because I think she doesn't understand the purpose of the show, which is to kind of air comments or...
Thank you.
You know, try to ask questions.
Thank you.
Because I don't think there's anybody that can answer all these questions that have been asked.
Thank you.
And then also, I've done drugs, and I've quit turning on now. But I just like to say that, you know, I'm not against them, and I'm not for them, because I did drugs for about a year.
Yes, sir.
And I figured out that they were really messing my mind up because I lost my drive and everything.
I see.
And now this was, I think, concerned with the harder drugs like acid and
yes, sir,
mescaline. But
do you think that anyone could have talked you out of it?
Well, I think that if somebody that had turned on and found out that it wasn't doing them too much good, and they talked to me then.
Yes, sir. You want someone who's been through the mail before.
Right, before before I started turning on, I think it would have been a lot better.
Yes. I'd like to make a few comments, if I may.
By all means.
I have a lot of contact with drug users. A lot of my good friends are drug users. And for one thing, most of us are very sick of proselytizers. Most drug users that I know are quite content. And I, for one, do not feel that it is my place to turn in a friend of mine. We are the second drug generation and not the first. That the first are our parents who started out on Milltown and Equinil and have now proceeded to such giants as Thorazine and Melaril.
Yeah, Jack, I'm sitting here just furious after this last call that you got from this boy that has been on the dope, and I think he's really...
Yes, I just called in to make a few comments.
All right.
And I've been using drugs. I used drugs for about 3 years, I guess, now. I'm a high school senior.
Yes, sir.
And about the best thing I can tell anybody out there that's thinking of doing them is don't. They mess my life up good. And we're starting on the road back now, you might say, and it's taking a lot of time and a lot of help from people that I know and loved ones and things like that. But
yes, sir.
Just all you teeny bops out there that are thinking it's neat, it's not.
Well, I wish you a lot of luck. I hope you have a successful return.
Yes, this morning on Free for All, the president of the University of Wyoming, Dr. William D. Carlson. If you would like to talk to Dr. Carlson, call us at 234-4545. We build this program as Wyoming University prepares for the 70s. What do you foresee in the 70s in terms of enrollment increase and plant expansion, academic improvement, and so on for the university?
My whole goal, and one that I think the university certainly as a whole subscribes to, is trying to increase our quality. We're trying to take what we have and make it better. I have been absolutely delighted with the progress that we've been able to make in the short time I've been there.
This morning on Free for All, we're going to be talking about the hair on your head with our guest, John Bradley. John is president of the Green and White Chapter of the National Forensic League at Kelly Walsh High School and Division Lieutenant Governor of Key Club International. John, welcome to Free for All.
Good morning, Mr. Meehan. Perhaps many of you have, across for the last few years, have seen a growing problem, so to speak, supposedly a problem with our nation's youth. That is, that the hair on the boys is getting a little longer. Some of it's even growing on their faces. And particularly in this part of the country, this has created a problem. And the problem has arisen simply because it's been treated as such. We've created the problem ourselves.
You have talked about the practical side of the hair business.
Mm-hmm.
But you haven't talked of it much. You skirted around it. That's one issue that I think is important. The long-haired individual is a sort of a freak, and I would like to know where there is any employment for this type of person.
Well, ma'am, I don't know. I think that perhaps in what you said, that you reveal part of the problem. When you say that the long-haired individual is a freak without any qualifications like that, you're making a kind of sweeping generalization that just doesn't stand up. George Washington had, well, at least with the wig on that he's always been showing.
Oh, don't talk to me like that.
Hair.
I talk about now.
All right. For instance, let's take some of the big money earners around the country. This is John Bradley.
Yes, sir. This lady that just called in a few moments ago.
Yeah.
I would like to give her an answer to her if it's possible.
Well, yes, that's fine. Go right ahead.
She mentioned the fact that these long-haired people, whoever they might be, whatever they are, weren't any good and whatnot. I mean, can't say what I'm thinking, but anyway, if the length of a man's hair is going to have something to do with what he will eventually end up to be, in this lady's mind, I'm sure that it's all right, but I don't think that that's quite true. Just because a man has long hair, or these girls wear these super short miniskirts, I don't know.
Well, I agree with you there. In other words, you think that you can judge somebody by something a little more important than their hair length?
I kind of think so, yeah.
Well,
what's the difference? You know, if you got long hair, short hair, you wear a miniskirt, or you wear a regular length skirt, or you ride a motor scooter, you drive a Ford car. What in the world's the difference?
I think that's exactly the point that I was trying to make.
A person's a person. Heck, it doesn't make any difference if he's green, red, blue, or yellow. What the heck?
It's not necessarily the long, attractive hair on men. It's the girl long length that the boys are wearing, but primarily not the hair, but the careless way of dressing and the, let's say, dirty way of appearance. I don't think any wants, but the majority of them run together, they dress alike, and let me tell you, they're not attractive to look at in any way, shape, or form.
Well, why then, if they run together, how exactly do they interfere with your life? I mean, have they done any particular damage?
Oh, this isn't what I'm getting at.
Welcome once again to Free for All. Our guest this morning is Dr. John Holmes, head of the Kidney Division of the Colorado University Medical School in Denver. He'll be telling us how extensive his kidney diseases and just some general things about them.
Well, it's hard to get good figures, but the latest quoted are that 60,000 people in this country die of kidney disease every year.
Paul is a student from South Africa. Mr. Ian Stain, a native of South Africa, Mr. Stain became interested in wildlife management and decided to come to the United States completely on his own. This is not a government thing or anything. He had to save his own money to come to the United States to study wildlife management and is a student at Casper College and intends to go on to the University of Wyoming. A graduate of Pretoria High School in South Africa, our guest grew up on the east coast of the country in Zululand. He's been in Wyoming 1 year. He is 24 years of age. Ian Stain, welcome to Free for All.
Thank you, Ben.
Ian, as its name denotes, the southern tip of Africa. It extends from the Cape of Good Hope approximately 1,800 miles. Guest this morning, Mr. Alan Stang of the Truth About Civil Turmoil, the TACT Committee, who is visiting in Casper, and we're going to be talking this morning about civil turmoil. I welcome you to Casper and to Free for All. It isn't often that someone admits openly that they're a member of the John Birch Society. Hasn't the term bircher become rather an insult?
Well, you know, that is getting less and less true, I find, as I travel around the country.
What thing here? Go ahead.
Mr. Stang.
Yes, ma'am.
About a month and a half or 2 months ago, in the Casper Tribune, they stated that there was an American Civil Liberties Union being formed here in Casper. And I belong to a couple of women's clubs, and we were discussing it. No one seemed to actually know too much, you know, about it. And about 3 weeks ago, I was down at the county courthouse, and someone pointed out the attorney, I believe his name is John Ackerman, and he is supposed to be heading this American Civil Liberties Union. Now, what I want to know, he looked so militant to me that it frightened me, and I have never been able to find any material or anything to read about this, and I was wondering if you would like to make a comment on it or if you do know anything about it.
The American Civil Liberties Union was founded preeminently by a man named Harry F. Ward. Harry F. Ward was, for a period of about 40 years, one of the top communists in the United States.
This morning on Free for All is Mr. Lawrence Spicer, Chief Washington Counsel of the American Civil Liberties Union. We're going to be discussing what is the ACLU. Will
Mr. Spicer?
Yes.
I am a little bit upset about your report about the ACLU. I wish that you would bring more of their history into public view so that everyone in Casper can realize the complete background of the ACLU. Are you familiar with the Special House Committee to Investigate Communist Activities report on the ACLU?
What year?
This took place in 1931, and they investigated the ACLU and interviewed Roger Baldwin, who was one of the founders of the ACLU. Isn't that correct? He's a founder?
Yes, he was the founding executive director and was executive director for some 30 years. Are you aware that Roger Baldwin was invited by General MacArthur to investigate the status of civil liberties in Japan during the occupation by American forces and also by General Clay?
No, I'm not aware of that, but it doesn't make Mr. Baldwin any higher in my regard.
Well,
you know, in this investigation, they asked Mr. Baldwin if the ACLU upheld the right of a citizen to even advocate murder or assassination, and Mr. Baldwin said yes. And the conclusion of the report was that the ACLU was subversive and did support...
That was in 1931. Are you...
The ACLU changed their... their philosophy, or have they changed their activity since then?
Well, that report has been thoroughly discredited by every impartial agency that ever checked into it.
No, that's not right.
May I continue, please? Now, if the ACLU is as you suggested, how do you account for the fact that President Lyndon Johnson said this The American Civil Liberties Union has an essential role at this critical time. It defends the rights of even the most despised to speak, to assemble, and to petition for redress of grievances. And how do you explain President John F. Kennedy saying, during the 43 years of its existence, the American Civil Liberties Union has played a significant role in defending our basic democratic freedoms? Or President Dwight Eisenhower, who said, it is good to be reminded that the members of the American Civil Liberties Union and the overwhelming majority of my fellow citizens are working together in the field of civil rights with steadfast vigor and understanding.
Well,
you trot out something that was written in 1931, and you have nothing else.
Since then, I can't find in any of the ACLU's...
Are you saying that President Johnson and President Kennedy and President Eisenhower would send messages to the ACLU if, in fact, it was an organization as you described?
Oh, I'm sure that they would. I would also suggest... I'm sorry, these men are not here to defend themselves, and I would not want to attack any of those former presidents on the air, but...
Well, are you suggesting?
You would suggest that perhaps they were not aware of it, or
Are you really serious that they would not be aware of the character of the ACLU before they would send meetings like that?
How about you, Richard? How you? Even if these great men might send you nice platitudes, you still...
Do you think that they would send platitudes to the organization if,
yes,
in fact...
Yes, those men, I do.
Without having...
And I don't want to attack...
But without having checked into the character of the organization, do you think they would send meetings like that to the...
Well, I would suggest that maybe we have to check the character of the organization. The ACLU has it through the Roger Baldwin Foundation. You still have the Roger Baldwin Foundation. He was an anarchist and a communist sympathizer and supporter.
How do you explain General MacArthur inviting him to study the status of civil liberties in Japan and General Clay asking him to study the status of civil liberties in Germany?
I don't know, except probably they made a mistake in doing that. Patriotic American. His allegiance, I would suggest, would lie more with the socialist.
Do you think you have better information than perhaps the intelligence agencies of the government? Would be available to General MacArthur or General Clay.
Well, I was quoting from some intelligence agencies of the government.
You were quoting from a congressional committee report in 1931, which has been
refuted,
which has been,
been
that is something you don't know. It has been thoroughly discredited by every governmental agency.
No, sir, it hasn't.
I beg to differ with you. It has.
Well, I'd like to beg to differ with you. I realize that we don't agree on this,
We don't agree on your trotting out something from 1931 to blast an organization.
I suggest that you still support things up to the present time, and you haven't changed since...
What things are we supporting?
Well, the Baldwin Foundation has given support to Cesar Chavez in his grape strike in California, and that we know is financed by communists. And
I don't know whether it is, but we are doing there what we do in every case, which is to defend the rights of individuals, irrespective of who they are or what their point of view is. And then we do that, and we have done that for example, Senator Joseph McCarthy, who was taken off the air in a program in Washington. We protested against that. I have done that in representing cohorts of George Lincoln Rockwell, not only in the cemetery case, but in cases where they were denied the right to speak.
Now, George Lincoln Rockwell was a leftist just like communists are. You can't say he's part of...
You must be kidding.
Fascist, communist, socialism is just another party of the same type of socialism as communism.
I have some difficulty
fascists
with your definitions.
Fascists are Bolsheviks and communists are Bolsheviks, and they're the same. Actually, they believe in the same thing. They believe in total government control.
I have some difficulty with your definitions.
The opposite. Well, then one other question, and I'll hang up.
How about the Ku Klux Klan? We've represented them as well.